I'm going to try to go fast this afternoon, not hold us too long. If you have your Bibles, open to Exodus chapter 29. We're up to this point now, and we've got to set the scene that Moses is still in the mountain. He's up in Mount Sinai. It's almost been 40 days now that he's been up there and nights, and he is speaking with God. God has given unto him the laws that were going to govern the children of Israel. He has told to him the pattern of the tabernacle. He has told him the laws that the people would live by and how they would deal with one another. And as we spoke about this morning, they were laws such as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or the repayment for things that were done against other people. He has covered the some of the items of the tabernacle or the temple that will eventually be built. He covered the clothing that the high priest would wear, as we discussed in the 28th chapter. In the 29th chapter, he is now going to give them the way in which Moses is going to consecrate, that it means to set aside for the purpose of serving God, the priest. So what he's to do now, and we're not going to read all of it. I know you can go home and read it for yourself, so I'm going to try to expound upon it and pick out some of the things that I think would be of interest. As we said, we'll try to do it for speediness of time. But they got to bring a bullock, and they got to bring two rams down to the tabernacle, to the door of the tabernacle there, or the courtyard, where the altar is at. This bullock and these rams are going to serve as sacrifices to consecrate both Aaron and his sons. Now, Aaron was chosen to be the high priest. When Aaron would pass away, one of his sons would take that position, and so on and so forth, all the way down the line of lineage. And that's how the priest office was set up to be done. Now, we know that by the time it got to Christ, that they had totally ignored that, and that it had become a political issue, a political office, and that people who had enough money and could pay Herod were the ones who were being put into those offices, or by favor or some other reason. But in the beginning, it was set up so that the lineage was to be of Aaron's and his children. Now, Aaron was supposed to put on his clothes that were made for beauty and glory. He was to wear the ephod, he was to wear the breastplate, he has put the mitre on his head, the crown that said holiness to the Lord, made out of gold with a blue ribbon that tied around it, the pomegranates and the bells on the bottom. He was to have this full dress. The deputy priests that were to go to the tabernacle that day were to have simply their regular garments upon them, which were linen breeches is what they were called. So they were white garments. Now, of course, this is a direct display of Christ in us. Since the Bible tells us that we are all kings and priests, then that's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at our high priest, Jesus Christ, and us being the priests. Now, that's what this is to show. Now, the consecration that's going to be done here is done with the sacrifice and the blood of animals, which shows to us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we're going to just read a few of the verses. Beginning, he says, "And this is a thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron, and the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod of the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for perpetual statue, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." Now, that's the scene that's set before us. They're at the door of the tabernacle, they've got the bullock, they've got the rams, they're without spot, without blemish, They have a basket that has unleavened loaves and unleavened wafers in it, and they have anointing oil. This oil that was to be poured upon Aaron, which is going to be described later, what it is actually made of, but he's going to anoint Aaron. Now, this isn't happening at this time. This is something that God is telling to Moses that he is going to do once the tabernacle has been set up and how he's going to consecrate these men or set them aside for the service of the tabernacle. Now, they bring the bullock. The bullock then, they lay their hands upon it. And in each one of these sacrifices, they're going to lay their hands upon the head. Now, what that basically means is that's a symbol that says this animal is taking my place. So when somebody would bring a sacrifice down to the temple, and it'd be a sacrifice for sin, for something they've done, they would put their hands upon the head of this animal and confess the sin that they had done, and then an animal would have its throat cut, is how they sacrificed it, and the blood would pour out, and they would do different things with the blood or with the meat of the offering. So what they're doing by laying their hands on it is saying, okay, animal, you're basically taking my place here. You're doing something for me. Now, that's what Christ did for us. He took our place. So when the bullock is sacrificed, they are to take the bullock. In verse 12, they're to take the blood of it and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. Now, when you read about this and you read about all these sacrifices, there is a lot of blood. I mean, blood's going to be sprinkled on everything. That's what it takes to sanctify or set the items or people apart for the worship of God. So this bullock is killed, and Moses is to take his finger, dip it in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the altar and it had horns on each corner. Now, that is to make this holy so that those horns, which represent power and also represented refuge, were consecrated. Then they were to pour it all around the blood, the rest of it, around the bottom of the altar. And then they're to take the fat that covereth the inwards and the caul that is above the liver and the two kidneys, and the fat is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It's a sin offering. So this is one of those offerings, as we talked about a little bit this morning, where the Bible tells us in the Hebrew letter that Christ suffered without the camp, points to one of these types of sacrifices. It was a sacrifice for sin. An animal was taking the place of an individual that had the condemnation of sin upon them, which we all have, and just as Christ took our place. Now, they would take the carcass of this animal and they took it outside the camp. And by the way, the person that took him outside the camp was considered unclean and had to go through the process of being cleansed before they could even come back into the camp. So this animal represented sin. And they'd take it outside the camp, and there they would build a fire and they would burn it till it was gone. Now, they would do this with sin offerings, and in the same way Jesus, he was taken outside the camp or outside the city of Jerusalem, and that's where he was crucified. Now they take the ram, according to what we have in the 15th verse. You take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram. Thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Then thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Then thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Now, the first ram that's being offered here is a burnt offering. Now, there was the sin offering, the trespass offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. These were the five offerings that were pretty much done on a daily and weekly type basis for people. Now, a burnt offering represented the complete consuming of what it was being offered. It required these five, plus the Passover, plus the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. It required all of these to describe to us what Jesus did in his one sacrifice. So Jesus totally gave his whole self to God. Now, that's exactly what this represents with this animal being a burnt offering. It is totally consumed. The animal before this, the bullock offering, represented the sin offering. And the sin offering also is what Jesus did for us. So we can see that all these animals represent different sacrifices, but it took those different sacrifices to point to the one that Jesus did for us. Now, this next ram is really interesting because now is where he consecrates these priests. And so I'm going to talk through this. And what he does is they put their hands on this ram and then the head of it. They slay the ram and he takes the blood of this ram. Now, what he's going to do with it is Moses is going to dip his finger in the blood and he's going to place it upon the right ear of each of the priests. And he's going to dip his finger in the blood and put it on their right thumb and on their right big toe. So we think to ourselves, well, that seems maybe a little bit strange. But really what it's representing and what I think we can look at is, of course, the blood on the ear is for listening to God and what his direction and what he tells us to do. On the thumb is what we perform and that they were to perform their works for God. And of course, on the toe would be that they walk in the path that God has given them. To me, I would think that's what it's representing. It's just representing that they are consecrated or given to God. This blood is being placed upon them for this purpose, to describe this to them, and so that they would remember it, and of course, they would have it. Now, on top of this, if we go on over to the 23rd verse, and one loaf of bread, and one cake of oil bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord, and thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron, and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So now these cakes that were brought in this basket, the wafers and the bread and such, Moses is now instructed, take it out of the basket and place it in their hands. Now that tells us these men weren't to go over to the basket and say and pick out what they were supposed to do. Moses was to take it and place it in their hands, which means God is giving to them his authority. He's giving to them what they need in order to officiate in this office, that everything is provided to them. They're not giving anything. It's being given to them. Then they take it and they wave it before the Lord. Now, the wave offering was something that was done on the day after the Passover and was also done at Pentecost. And those wave offerings showed forth Jesus coming out of the grave and the fulfillment, we know on Pentecost, of Jesus establishing the church. Now, these wave offerings that they wave before the Lord is a display that God has given them and chosen them and given them what they need to do to perform in their office. Now they were to take the breasts of the ram in the 26th verse of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breasts of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is wave, which is heaved up of the ram of consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. Now, the priests were allowed to eat some of the sacrifices that were placed upon the altar. We read of that over in the book of Hebrews, where Paul refers to it as he says that people who serve the old tabernacle have no right to eat of the New Testament church. And I think he's referring there to the communion. If you're going to put your thought in the fact that animals are the sacrifices that you need, then you have no right to this table here that shows to us the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, these men could live off of these sacrifices. It was part of what was given to the Levites so that they could sustain their life. Because the Levites are not given a territorial land. They are instead given cities. Their duty is to guide the children of Israel in the spiritual direction that God wants them to go. So they're not out there herding cattle, and they're not out there plowing fields, and they're not out there planting vineyards and olive trees and stuff. They're doing the work God set them aside to do. And in order for them to survive, it was necessary that the other 11 tribes supply them with what they needed. Now, that's what tithing was all about. And there even come a time when the priest office nearly starved to death because the children of Israel weren't supporting them as God had commanded them to do. So I got a little off track there. But the bottom line is that they were to take of some of these parts that were theirs, that were given to them, and they did a heave. Now, a heave offering is heaving up. And, of course, we could see that as Jesus coming out of the grave. And a wave offering is that of Jesus perhaps ascending into heaven or a culmination of him coming out of the grave and rising up. The holy garments of Aaron, in verse 29, shall be his sons after him to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son, that is priest in his stead, shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seeth his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and of the bread that is in the basket by the door of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. So God now is not only providing to Moses how Aaron and his sons will be consecrated for their office, the ceremony that they had to go through, but what's going to happen even down the road. After Aaron dies and somebody else takes it, he wears those garments for 7 days. He stays at the temple. He eats of the sacrifices that have been offered and of the cakes of bread and such that have been brought there. In verse 35, and thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and his sons according to all things that I have commanded. These 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. So we talk about sacrifice and we talk about blood for 7 days, and every day there's going to be a bullock offered for sin, and it's going to consecrate or set aside or sanctify the altar and, of course, Aaron and his sons. So when I start thinking about these sacrifices in the Old Testament, and you just start thinking about the amount of animals that had to be sacrificed, I could even imagine on a Passover, there would be tens of thousands, if not more, lambs offered on that one day. And all of those couldn't take away the sins of man. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So you look at all of that, and it was a lot of blood in the Old Testament. A lot of it was used. It was used in all the sacrifices that were there, poured upon the items, placed upon the priests, sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant and on the people and on the book. And you just read about it. It was a lot. But it all pointed towards the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of sacrifice for us. Verses 38 through 46 deal with the continual offerings that the priests were going to offer. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. So here, every day, two lambs are going to be offered. One lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. So right there, on every day, two lambs is going to be offered. One in the morning, one in the evening. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and thou shalt do thereto according at the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So God has now said, this is what you're going to do, Moses. This is what you're going to instruct the people, and this is going to be from now on what they're going to do. So it amazes me today that people who do not believe our Lord has come, who claim they are of old Israel, they have no sacrifices. They have no temple. They have no tabernacle. They have nothing to fulfill any of these requirements that they claim they're living under. So they have no sacrifice for their sin. There's none that can be offered. There's no way they could possibly offer it if they don't accept Jesus Christ as that sacrifice. And there is no other sacrifice. We know that. There's not another one that can take away the sins of man. So it's just amazing to me at people who today, as you look in the news or you read about the Orthodox Jew over there in Israel, thinking that Christ, that Jesus wasn't the Christ. They have no way of doing what God told Moses had to be done every day, continually, and even the other sacrifices, as we've already talked about many. But God said, I'll dwell with the people. You do these things, you set up the tabernacle, you make these sacrifices, and I'm going to be there and I'm going to dwell among these people. Now, while all this is going on, we're getting very close to the point to where down there in the camp, they're getting restless. And they're wanting Aaron to make a golden calf and say, this is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. Now, God said right here, one of the last things that we read here, was he was the one that brought them out of the land of Egypt. So I can imagine just how disappointed and how hurt it was to God that these people would so soon turn away from him. But we'll go on and we'll continue next time, Lord willing, we get together. It will probably bring us up pretty close to the time that they are going to be disobedient unto God. But that brings conclusion of that, where we look at the consecration of the priest and the high priest, which when we look at that, we know it pointed down the road to our high priest, Jesus, and to us as his priests. To be one this evening, won't you come always stand and sing?